we see now that we're making a transition as we move into chapter 4. If you look back in the first chapter, 19th verse, we see an outline for the book of Revelation. He's told to write things past, which is Revelation 1, things present, Revelation 2 and 3, and then things future, Revelation 4 through 22. If you notice from Revelation 1:19 that the things future is introduced by the prepositional phrase after this or after these things. And so we see this phrase in Revelation 4, verse 1. And in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we're having a view of the throne of God. And it seems that this would line up with a pre-tribulational view. As far as the Great Tribulation is concerned, we know the beginning of the Great Tribulation starts in Revelation 6 when Jesus Christ breaks open that first judgment seal. And since Revelation 5 is a prelude to that moment, introduces the Lord Jesus Christ as being worthy enough to break open God's wrath seals. And since the tribulation does not officially begin until the first seal is broken in 6:1, it looks like this particular scene takes place just prior to the tribulation period. Revelation 4 and 5 occurs just before that. As far as the rapture of the church is concerned, we can make some observation. These chapters occur in the third part of the book. After this begins the future section of the book, and after this phrase refers to after the church age. In other words, after the church age is over, these are the things that are going to happen. And the church is promised deliverance. We see that in Revelation 3:10. And it looks like these two chapters here, 4 and 5, are the prelude chapters to that great tribulation. And the churches are not mentioned as being on earth after chapter 3 and not mentioned again until the end of the book in Revelation 22:16. The Lord is no longer viewed as being connected to the lampstands on earth, but is now viewed as overseeing God's judgment wrath being poured out on the earth. So based on these observations, the events of Revelation 4 and 5 occur after the rapture of the church, but just before the beginning of the Great Tribulation. So after the church age is over, just before the start of the Great Tribulation, we see some description here. And in Revelation 4, John gets his first glimpse of heaven. The time of the churches is over, and John goes to heaven and writes what he sees. Schofield said, beginning with 4:1, the viewpoint of John is from heaven, as the word church does not appear again in Revelation until 22:16. The catching up of John from earth to heaven has been taken to be a symbolic representation of the translation of the church as occurring before the events of the tribulation described in chapters 6 through 19. But there are some differences between what happened to John here and what will happen at the rapture. The first one is there's an archangel that's going to announce the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, whereas John heard a voice, but we don't know if that was an archangel. And then at the rapture, the dead in Christ are resurrected and caught up first. Whereas here, only John was caught up to heaven. There was no resurrection. And then at the rapture, the caught up believer meets loved ones who died and instantly meets Jesus Christ. Whereas John here first sees a throne. And then at the rapture, the first heavenly person the believer sees is Jesus Christ. Whereas here, the first heavenly person John sees is God the Father. And then at the rapture, the believer will never again be separated from Jesus Christ and will remain with him forever, whereas after these events, John had to return to the earth to die. So we see some things, and we see point number one, the summons to heaven, what John initially saw. Look at verse 1 with me. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." So the first thing that happened is that John looked and he saw a door that was open in heaven. He didn't see pearly gates, he saw a door. And that is what John saw. The word heaven has an article the, meaning this is the third heaven, the throne of God heaven. And that verb open is a perfect passive, meaning that this door had been opened to heaven at some point of time in the past and continue to be open at the present and on into the future. And that passive verb means that neither John nor any other human had anything to do with the action of opening that door. The point of time when the door of heaven was opened was when Christ died and arose and ascended into heaven, thus opening the door for entrance. That noun throne is used 37 times in Revelation, is used 13 times in this chapter. And it captures the attention of John. He sees what's on the throne. He sees what's around the throne. He sees what comes out from the throne. He sees what's before the throne. And what initially he heard was, he heard a voice that was like the sound of a trumpet. The voice was not a musical instrument. It was a speaking voice. Now, the trumpet was used for signaling major military and religious events, and it pierced the air with great authority. And that's what John heard in this voice. It was booming. It was authoritative. It communicated some things. It communicated, first of all, for him to come up here. And then it promises to show John future things to come. That sounds a lot like the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. Look up and see this heaven open. A commanding voice addressing the dead in Christ, and commanding voice of the archangel saying, come up here. So that's John's introduction, his summons into heaven. But then point number two, the sights in heaven. Look at verse 2 with me. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. So he experienced these things. That Greek text stresses that there was no time gap in these actions. John saw, he heard, he immediately was in heaven. The text points out that this was accomplished by means of a spirit. This construction would lend itself to the conclusion that some spirit being, perhaps an angel, took John there immediately, or John was immediately put into some spiritual state and taken into heaven. He saw some things. He saw a standing throne. The present tense of the verb standing is one that suggests this throne had continually and presently is there. And he's seeing it for the first time. And then he sees someone sitting on it. It goes on to verse 3. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. So he saw these things, that sardius was a beautiful, deep, fiery red, and jasper was like a crystal clear, shining diamond. And circling the throne was a rainbow, and it's a reminder of the faithfulness of God to keep his promises, specifically from Genesis 9, where he said he's never going to again destroy the world by a flood. That's a beautiful thing to remember. The throne was suspended in heaven. Around it was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. This beautiful greenish look to all, displaying the supernatural beauty of God. Let me go on to verse 4. It says, around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. So around God's throne were 24 other thrones. The verb around indicates these thrones encircled God's throne. So in a circular fashion, these thrones surrounded God's throne. And in heaven, he saw these 24 elders upon the 24 thrones. 24 in number. They were elders, so they had a official heavenly leadership position. They're sitting. Present tense, they were continually sitting. They were clothed in white garments. They wore golden victor's crowns, and they sit on the thrones, and but there's other things that we will hear about them. They fall down and worship God. They have precise knowledge of God's program. They're very close to Jesus. They fall down and worship Jesus. They know the importance of prayer. They sing praises to God. They know special worship songs that no one else knows. And we see that throughout the book of Revelation. And so who are these 24 elders? Well, there's different thoughts on it. Some say 24 angels. Some say 24 church elders. Some say 24 leaders of Israel in the church, whether it represents the apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. Some say 24 priest elders of Israel. There are 24 divisions of priests. We see that in 1 Chronicles 24, 7 through 19, but we don't really know. We come to verse 5, and it says, "From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God." So we've got him seeing visual and audible activity coming from God's throne. He saw flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of roaring thunder. It's often a prelude to God's judgment. He saw seven lamps burning before the throne, which were the seven ministries of the Spirit. And then we see in heaven, John saw something else. Look at verse 6. "And before the throne there were, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind." So the sea, like a sea of glass, like crystal. Crystal portrays something pure and clear and unhidden. What stands out here at the God's throne is that it's totally pure and nothing is hidden. And then we start seeing these different items talking about these different creatures, these different animals. The creatures here refers to living beings, and they have both animal and human characteristics at God's throne. They're unusual, they're real, they're living. Both Old Testament and New Testament writers describe seeing these things. We see that in Ezekiel, we see it in Isaiah, and we see it in Revelation. And so they always appear near the throne of God. They're involved in worshiping God, closely connected to the theme of judgment. They're involved in knowing and revealing God's final program. They're not hostile to the Apostle John, and they are in a position of recognizable authority. And then each of them had several eyes. They look all directions at all times. They always see God's throne. They each had a distinct face, feature of an animal or human or bird. One has the face of a lion and a calf and a man and an eagle. Each had six wings. So look at these verses with me. It says, around the throne, there's these four living creatures. And then the first living creature, like a lion, the second living creature, like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around him, and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So there's six wings. We see Ezekiel sees one thing and John sees another. There's a difference in the number of wings. John saw six, Ezekiel saw four. There's a difference in the number of faces. John saw one, Ezekiel saw four. There's a difference in order. John saw lion, ox, man, and eagle. Ezekiel saw man, lion, ox, and eagle. There's a difference in content. Both see lion, man, eagle. John sees calf. Ezekiel sees ox. There's a difference in function. John sees monitoring. 6, 1, and 3, Ezekiel sees movement in 1, 14 through 21. So why the differences? Well, the differences in number of wings has to do with the speed of the judgment. The six wings would carry out judgment much faster than four wings. The difference in number of faces has to do with the number of judgments left against Israel. In Ezekiel, God used Babylon to dominate Israel, and after that he used Persia, Greece, and Rome. In Revelation, there's only one judgment remaining against Israel. And there are some things we just don't know. It goes on in verse 9. He says, "And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever." So you got to remember, as we're looking at verses 8 and 9, there's different worship going on. They worship and praise God for his holiness. Now think about that. These are the most holy beings located in heaven, and they recognize the majestic holiness that God has. They don't have that level of holiness, and we certainly don't have that level of holiness. And then that threefold repetition of holy, 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 it indicates that every member of the Trinity has it, and also suggests that this is a key attribute that belongs to God. And they worship and praise God as the Lord. The word Lord refers to the fact that God is Lord and Master over all and has ruling power and authority over all. And they worship and praise God as the God. The before the noun God. These beings worship God as being the only sovereign God in deity existence. They worship and praise God that he is almighty. The word almighty refers to strength at the almighty majestic level always. And they worship and praise God that he is eternal. They look to him. They trust him. What's clear about this is it's very careful and thoughtful. Let me read once again as we move to point three, the song of heaven. Look at verse 9 again with me. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever. So they worship and praise God and give him honor. They worship and praise God and they give him glory. And that glory means that it's being expressed the highest and most majestic praise to God that they possibly could express. That word honor is talking about they value God the highest possible level. And they praise God and give him thanks. They express this gracious gratitude and thankfulness to God in everything and every way. And they worship and praise God because he's living forever and ever. And it goes on. Look at verses 10 and 11 as we wrap up chapter 4. The 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." So these 24 elders, they'll fall down before God. These 24 elders will worship God. They'll throw crowns at his feet. They'll verbally worship and praise God. And they'll worship and praise God because he's worthy. And they'll worship and praise God because he is Lord and he's our Lord. And they worship because he's God and he's our God. And they praise him for his glory and for his honor and for his power and for his creation. And so it's the highest form of worship that we may offer God. And that's one of the most heavenly things we can do on earth is to worship God for who he is and how great he is.